Fab Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. And we partner with AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sessmat. A year older, turned 50 yesterday. It's one of those deals, guys, where I'll get into the combine in a minute. Jalen Strong, Birdman, the Suns, and some of the nonsense around the Suns about how everything is great and hunky-dory. Like, you have to be kidding me. Paula Bovin, News and Notes, will be with us at the bottom of the hour. But I'm going to talk for just a couple moments here about how a number is just that, a number. But for those of you that have not hit 50 yet, and it's come, you may be 25 and invincible right now, it's fine. You're sitting at your place of business doing your thing, and you just don't see it coming down the tracks. And you may be 30 and you've got the world by the tail, and you may be 40 and the kids are running you crazy, and then you've got 50 coming right at you. When I woke up yesterday morning and I was then crossed over to that 50 mark, it's a little different. It's just, I'm driving in today and it's like, do I screw around as much or do I have to finally grow up? Do I finally have to handle this like it's a real job? I've never had a job in my life. I've talked sports and other stuff that's on my mind. So you guys can all relate to this. Do I have to go get my prostate exam this week now that I'm 50? I went for a hike on Saturday and got a little lightheaded. Is it because I had turned 50 or is it because I was a dope and didn't eat anything before I went on a hike with my wife? Like, I thought seriously the chopper was going to have to come in and land over on South Mountain because like three and a half hours earlier, I had some Raisin Bran, a banana and a cup of coffee. And I'm out there in the middle of nowhere and all of a sudden it's like, I don't feel so great. I'm like, okay, this is what happens when you turn 50. So I'm not going to sit here and whine all about it. I had a great time this weekend. I went to this rum bar over at TPC Scottsdale. I don't go to rum bars much. It's a good thing that there was a shuttle that took us there and back. It was fine. I played golf pretty well yesterday. I actually thought about playing from the back tees, but the group we were paired with wanted to play from the white tees, and I didn't complain. Of course I didn't. It's closer. I watched the Oscars last night and it was fine. But you wake up today and it's just a little different. So it's coming your way. Am I making any sense at all, Eric, on any of this stuff? Shut up. What are you talking about? I'm old now. What do you mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're just old.
You're just old.
How was your weekend?
It was busy.
You went to a Coyotes game I saw on Twitter?
What is
that all about?
I saw you
on television. They introduced you because there was nobody sitting in the arena.
That's not true. They actually had a pretty good crowd on
Saturday.
Did they?
Yeah. What did they give away? They give away anything?
No, but it's just a Saturday Coyotes game. I mean,
it's a Saturday Coyotes game.
When you have the time to travel all the way across the valley, when you live in the North or East Valley to see a hockey game, you can do it on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, and you have to go to work at 6 in the morning the next day. You don't make that trek.
Did you watch much of the Combine?
No.
Because you were there.
Correct.
Yeah, you'd had enough. You needed a break.
When I'm at the Combine, you don't get to watch the Combine. And then when I got back...
But you interview all the people around it.
Yeah, I defrosted on Friday night.
That's good.
I was going to say, what's a bigger shock, Brad? You surviving your 50th birthday weekend or me surviving negative 17 wind chill Friday morning in Indianapolis?
Why do they have it at Indy? Have you ever gotten an answer on that?
It's been like that. I don't know. It's just kind of been the spot. Like when the Combine was just a little tiny itty-bitty event 20 years ago, yeah. it was in Indy. And this year with over 1,000 credentialed media to cover the Combine. Yeah, yes, correct. 1,000 credentialed media.
Let's get, because I want to talk to you further about this. Let's get you caught up with what is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top. It is in the beautiful White Mountains. They've been a part of Sports360AZ.com since day number one. And at the Honda Resort and Casino, we've got weather moving into the state, and the Sunrise Ski Resort's still cranking, still going. But keep an eye on it. Could be some fresh powder that gets thrown into the ground here in the next few days. That'd be great stuff. Those of you that like to ski, the Sunrise Ski Resort and the Honda Resort and Casino, you can get all your ski gear right there, the ski shop. Take in the day up on the slopes, do some snowboarding, some sledding. Maybe you've never skied before. You just want to try it out. shoot, there's enough snow up there right now. Maybe with the snow right through spring break that's right around the corner. Start making your plans now. The Honda Resort and Casino with great entertainment to get away and decompress. Enjoy your time at the Honda Resort and Casino, again, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains, the Honda Resort and Casino. So Jalen Strong was the story of stories this weekend involving the Arizona players. Brett Hundley did not run his 4.540 as he told us he wanted to. Doesn't mean that he was horrible, but his story didn't really do anything above the fold. Jalen Strong absolutely unequivocally killed it this week with his vertical jump and his 4.44440. A man of that size. Eric, when you were talking to people at the Combine, you know, we always like to do the body comparison and what type of NFL player does he compare to favorably. Did they have anybody along those lines with Jalen Strong?
The one name that I heard when I was back in Indy from the people that I spoke to was Marcus Colston, Saints wide receiver, Hofstra, big body, and it's a good comparison because you can see that. I mean, Marcus Colston's a guy where you can throw the ball down the sideline and he will go up and out jump or out muscle the smaller defenders to make the catch, and Jalen Strong is a lot like that. And everyone was blown away by how fast that guy ran.
Sure.
I mean, to be that big and that strong, you almost assume, okay, if he runs like a 4.55 or a 4.58, it's okay because he's a big he's not a slot receiver. He's an outside edge receiver.
Right.
And then he runs a 4.4. Someone in the first round is going to take him. He went from a high second on a lot of draft boards. He'll be taking the first round now.
The only thing about Marcus Colston is he's blown on my fantasy team for the last few years.
Well, the
so
Marcus,
I don't
no,
like
no,
that.
Yeah, well, the Marcus Colston of like 2007, 8, and yeah. 9, and 10, not more recently because he has been somewhat disappointing.
He's been disappointing. You were telling me off air you did not see Mariota and Winston together.
No.
And so here's what a dork I am. I'm at the Princess Resort, one of the nicest places in the state of Arizona. And my wife and I are hanging out, and this was Saturday afternoon before we went to dinner. And for about an hour, I'm watching the Combine. But the funny part is she is the one that said, oh, I want to watch this because I want to know more about Marcus Mariota. We have friends that are Oregon Duck fans. And she's a big NFL fan as it is. So they have Mariota and Winston sitting together with Charles Davis, who we have on the show quite often. Love Charles Davis. And I think Brian Billick was sitting up there too. And I'm watching the two of them, Mariota and Winston, next to each other. It was after their combine work had already taken place. And just body mannerism, I'm looking at the two and I'm thinking, Winston clearly is the guy that feels like he is all that and has to let you know that he's all that. And by the way, he's big as a house and looks like Byron Leftwich a little bit. Mariota, on the other hand, as I'm looking at Mariota, it's Mariota is coming across as, I don't need to tell anybody how good I am. I'm that good. I ran a 4.44 40. I killed it. When they showed the 40-yard dash on NFL Network, when they had Winston and myself running, they did this little thing where they superimposed. It looked like Winston was pulling a piano on his back. He looked like he had a moving truck that he was trying to pull as he was running down the way. Now, that doesn't mean that I wouldn't take Jameis Winston, but I've said this before, and Peter King, our buddy who comes on the show every week during the season, did a fabulous column today. Like, I like to do read of the days on social media, and I'm probably going to put Peter's in that one today because he spent a good amount of time interviewing Jameis Winston about how would Jameis Winston view Jameis Winston. Quote, if the NFL checked into Jameis, they would find out he's a really, really good guy. Okay, that's fine. Is he a bad guy or immaturity? Peter asked Jason Light. Jason Light, if you remember, guys, was part of the Cardinals organization here, is now running Tampa Bay. And Peter asked him about bad guy or immaturity. And Jason Light turned it around on Peter and said, bad guy or immaturity, question mark, I am leaning toward the latter. Now, as I'm watching Winston and I'm watching Mariota, gosh, it looks like Winston can make some plays, but I wasn't in the mindset of he can make every play. I didn't see the escapability. Yeah, he's obviously he's going to be a first round pick. Could he be the number one overall pick in the draft? And what type of message is that going to send, not just other teams in the NFL, but everybody in general, that you can be an absolute knucklehead and we can just explain it away, that character doesn't really matter. I heard an NFL analyst over the weekend on NFL Network say, and I'm trying to remember who it was, I don't want to misspeak for them, that the character part doesn't matter as much as the physical part. There are people out there within that league and all sports leagues that get so enamored and in love with a player because of their physical abilities that they're willing to look the other way. And sometimes it works out. I think that's very short-sighted when you have the number one overall pick, because if you miss, and here's a little bit more from Jason Light, quote, "I'd be lying if I said I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about the off-the-field stuff," Light says. "This decision is going to affect so many people and their families. We've got to get it right." So guys, it's pretty easy if you're the one sitting there at your place of business, doing your thing and collecting your check. Okay, but if you're the guy that's in charge of the company, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's in my space, I have to look first and foremost at the character and the quality of the people. Sometimes I miss, like I did with Eric and Jared and Jared Nielsen.
Clearly.
I miss with all three of them. Character, they just completely crapped the bed on it, and I've just had to deal with it. In seriousness, you look, for me, it's, in my business, it's let's start with the person first, okay? If you're running a franchise and you have the number one overall pick, you can't miss on character. I think the bigger thing is if you did the autopsy on the guy, is the heart there? Was the heart there to begin with? I'll give you a prime example. I've brought Matt Leinart's name up over and over and over, and the Cardinals hate it whenever I do it. It's a fact they screwed up on that one. Somebody obviously didn't check the heart of Matt Leinart because there was no heart. Can I say that there's heart top to bottom with Jameis Winston? I don't know if you're acting like an immature little kid and you can fix it. That's one thing. But if you're shoplifting and you're being accused of sexual assault, now the legal side of that we'll get into. We've got 60 some odd days till the draft. I don't think that part of it is as open and shut a case as you'd want it to be. But you've got to add the whole thing up. And after this weekend, physically, I would take Jameis Winston. Physically, okay? A 40-yard time of Mariota just blowing him away doesn't tell me that I've got to go with Mariota. I'm still in the boat that if I had to choose one or the other, if it's me, then I've got to be the one, if I'm Tampa Bay, that takes Mariota, and I may miss on Winston. But I have just as good a chance of having Winston miss on me, and I can't have that. So then you're Ken Whisenhunt sitting there with the second overall pick. Now, we know Ken Whisenhunt and young quarterbacks and how well that worked or didn't work here in Arizona. We know Ken Whisenhunt drove Ben Roethlisberger crazy in Pittsburgh. They have Zach Mettenberger in Tennessee. Nice enough player. But if you're the Tennessee Titans, do you take Jameis Winston? Can Ken Whisenhunt control Jameis Winston? Ken Whisenhunt already missed with one guy. It's really fascinating now that we have one piece of information. They're going to spend more time. Tampa Bay, Jason Light told Peter King, he's going to spend at least 30 hours with each one of those two players between now and the start in the NFL draft. So there's a lot of time to figure those guys out and see if they're lying, if they're snowballing, if they can actually do it. How much time are they going to spend sitting there at the whiteboard? And then it's Ken Whisenhunt. And I think it's really interesting for, as Cardinal fans, you know how it went here with Wiz. And if the second one is sitting there, if they pass on him. On the other side, Chris Mortensen, ESPN insider, on the Cardinals. Eric caught up with him at the Combine. We're going to hear some of that. Tonight, Isaiah Thomas is back in town with the Boston Celtics. Everybody's talking about Dragic. We'll hear from Goran on his thoughts on the Suns. He did speak about that over the weekend. Some injuries around the NBA that impact the Suns in a good way. college basketball over the weekend. More on the combine. Adrian Peterson, the Vikings, and Larry Fitzgerald. How does that all fit together? And some Diamondbacks, too. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
One of the things I did over the weekend was outside of the combine. You know, I'm sitting out just kind of zoning on Saturday afternoon over the Princess and thought about all sorts of things. The Oscars, what I hadn't seen yet, some sports stuff. You kind of take stock. I don't know about you guys, but when it's your birthday, you just take a little bit of stock. At least I do. When you hit your 50th, you take quite a bit of stock and just kind of look around at things. I don't see anything differently today. It's not like, ooh, awakening or any of that stuff. But I had not seen Birdman yet. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on. What a bizarre movie that was in the Oscars last night. Because all a bunch of you guys, we were all interacting about the Oscars last night over on Twitter. It was fun. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, Paula Bova News and Notes coming up here in a couple of moments. This segment brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The place for you to get that new car, that new truck, the certified pre-owned vehicle is at Santan Ford. General Manager Tim Hovick, he's a year-round business getting it going a few years back, and to see them grow by leaps and bounds, one of the top dealerships in the country. The Ford brand is very, very strong. Tim is involved with his dealership, with the Diamondbacks, with Arizona State, with the Arizona Cardinals, all sorts of sporting events. But beyond that, community events, too. He's very community-minded and civic-minded, and that's the way civic leaders should be. So if you're in the market for that car, that truck, you're just not going down to the corner from Tim's Ford or something like that. That's not how this works, right? I've been telling you about Santan Ford for over 3 years now, and the amount of people that send me notes saying, hey, look, I'm in the market for that vehicle. Give me somebody to talk to over at Santan Ford. I'll just tell you, go right to their website. Just go right to santanford.com. Or go to our website. Just click on the banner ad there, Santan Ford. Ask for Tim Hovick, Lloyd Kovalt, all sorts of good people. John Bernath, Bob Johnson, all sorts of good people there. John Bernath over there on the service side. Big Bob getting it done. And they'll help you in that direction that you need to go with that new, that used, that certified pre-owned vehicle, that car, that truck, at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. We're going to hear from Chris Mortensen here in a minute. Some basketball stuff over the weekend and tonight. So tonight, Boston is in town to play the Suns. Next Monday, the Suns are in Miami to play the Heat. So in the next 2 weeks, we're going to see, I guess we should take, Eric, the approach after we heard Ryan McDonough speak. Actually, I don't know if you watched it from the combine or not, and Lon Babby, that one of the disgruntleds is going to be here tonight.
I did hear that.
Yeah.
I did hear that.
Yeah, one of the selfish ones is going to be here tonight. They didn't want to call him out by name. But
they did. We all know who you're talking about. We all know.
Yeah, so, and the thought that they're in a better place today than they were on Friday, I mean, what are they going to say? It's not like Lon Babby's going to get up there and tell me anything that I'm going to sit there and say, well, if Lon said it, I've got to believe it. You know, I'm going with Ryan McDonough here. That's the guy that is the person that I thought shined in their press conference on Friday.
What's worse, Brad, calling somebody out or calling somebody out by not calling somebody out? Does that make sense? Is it worse just to call someone by name and say, you know what? Fill in the blank was a huge disappointment, or fill in the blank was selfish, or to skirt around it, and everybody knows who you're talking about.
I thought it was juvenile of the Suns.
A little bit. I was shocked by it.
I mean, look, guys.
Are we above all this? It's a business.
We're bigger than this.
It's a business.
Right. We are bigger than this. I don't know. It's like all you have to do is step forward, and when somebody says anything about Goran or anything about Isaiah, all you have to say is they are no longer here and we're moving forward and we feel good about our moves. Now, guys like me can sit here behind microphones and say, I don't know how you can feel better about where you are today. You're just basically spinning your wheels. But of course they're going to present a case. Nobody's going to step up and say, man, did we get screwed? privately, I've been to many, many, many press conferences through the years. And after it's over, I've had executives from every one of the teams other than the Cardinals. The Cardinals have always felt like they've got it all figured out, even when they were awful. And they would say, how do you think that went? Or do you think that this went well? Because they all wanted, what they say, win the room. So as we watched the Suns on Friday, it was all about Isaiah Thomas and Goran Dragic not being good fits. I don't know. You were the guys that decided to put this puzzle together. So own up to it and take responsibility and say, we put this together. It didn't work out. We're moving on. We're turning the page. Next question. You want to know about Mr. Knight? Mr. Knight's going to be here. But instead, tonight, Isaiah Thomas, here's how it'll work. So Isaiah was actually thrown out of last night's game. His first game as a Celtic, he gets thrown out.
Totally bogus call, though. I don't know if you saw the replay, but it was ridiculous. It was like an offensive foul where he didn't even touch the guy, and they called an offensive foul for him clearing out. And then he chirped at the ref, and they threw him out.
21 points off the bench. Now, on the surface, it's the Celtics who aren't any good, and it's a back-to-back for the Celtics. So this should be a win tonight for the Suns.
Especially because it's Star Wars night. You would think the Suns would put out their best product. So.
Star Wars night. Gosh, I love that. Do the Lakers do Star Wars night?
I don't think so.
Do the Heat do Star Wars night? I don't know.
It's fine. I mean, we see
this. Is this what you have to do when you don't have a team that is playoff caliber?
We see it in the summer with the Diamondbacks.
I get
it. Concert nights, fireworks nights.
Anything. But again, do you have to do this when your baseball team wins 68 games? Of course you do, because you're not any good. Get through the gimmicks and give me a basketball team that is consistent, that plays well, that plays hard, that can win. But when you have a television contract that pays you so much money up front, you really don't have to do that. Robert Sarver paid $405 million for the Suns. They're worth now $980. You can do all the Star Wars nights you want. You're still going to make money. So tonight it's Isaiah Thomas night. Does he get booed or cheered? He gets booed. He won't be in the starting lineup probably. I don't know if he'll get lustily booed. Anybody who cheers for Isaiah Thomas and has just not been paying attention since he got here. Next year when Goran Dragic shows up, if people boo Goran Dragic, I don't know, then they just will buy anything that the Suns are saying. The Suns did a really good job of presenting the case that Goran was the bad guy and we did nothing wrong in this case. They did a really good job of that the other day. So here is Goran Dragic yesterday on his memories of his time with the Phoenix Suns.
Had a great 5 years there. I would like to thank Robert Sarver and his family, what he did for me, for my family, and I'm always going to be grateful what he did, and I wish him all the best.
Okay, so here's how that went down. Goran, this is your agent. Now, you're going to go to this press conference in a couple of hours. At this press conference, you're going to say nothing other than, I want to thank Robert Sarver and his family. And over and over and over, you're going to repeat how this was the best position you've ever been in, and your life is amazing and awesome with Robert Sarver involved in it. You're not going to do what the Suns ended up doing. You are not going to play that game.
And he sent out a series of tweets I saw last week thanking the Suns fans and how welcomed they were when they came back to Phoenix. So, I mean, he's doing everything correctly in
PR.
Exactly. Behind the scenes, who knows what's going on? But visually,
right. But visually,
he's doing everything correctly.
The only thing that we haven't seen yet is the full page ad in the newspaper routine. I always love that one. I hated you, you hated me, but agent is going to go take some of my money, and I'm just going to thank the fans, and I'm so glad I'm not there anymore. Because I've run into those guys. When they're done playing, and you get a couple beers in them, or you're just sitting there on the golf course or wherever, I mean... So here's more Goran Dragic on his time that looking forward to in Miami.
Miami was one of the spots. Of course, they won three championships, you know, rings, and everybody wants to play for a championship team. And, you know, with Coach Eric and with, I don't know how to say, Coach or GM, Pat Riley, you know, they're such a good guys, and they always find a way to win.
Now, there will be those that will say, well, the Suns said that he was a selfish player and they won't believe anything coming out of Goran Dragic's mouth. I think that's like, I don't know, 10% of the audience. I think people, as they saw it all unfold on Friday after the Suns basically blew up, and I do believe Ryan McDonough had a coming of age. I do believe that. He stepped forward and seemed very sure of himself, very confident in himself. He wasn't arrogant or condescending. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. I don't want to hear anybody else talk about player personnel, and nobody else should be sitting up there except Ryan McDonough. He is the face, and that's that. Anybody else in the organization, if it's Lon Babby, hey, Lon, approve this contract. Thank you. Now, please get out of the way. That's it. There's no reason for him to be involved in anything. You know, a lot of the mess that they're in was caused under his watch under the previous group. Why he's still here, I have no idea. Other than he must be really good with cap stuff. And people say he's a nice enough guy. I have to look at body of work here, guys. I mean, body of work is more important. So a couple other things around the Suns before we get to the break here, and we're going to hear from Chris Mortensen too. Kevin Durant had a screw issue in his foot that they had to remove, and Anthony Davis hurt his shoulder. Both those injuries over the weekend. So here the Suns are. They haven't played well recently, and they're still in the playoff spot, and the two teams that are right there with them are two teams that have been hit hard by injury. So you have to keep an eye on that. So Suns play tonight. I'll get to the Mortensen stuff after Paula. Let's do Paula now, and we'll have Paula Bovin on next. News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend. A lot to get to with Paula Bovin. I saw her on Friday over at the Diamondbacks. Randy Johnson was holding court about how he's going to be working with the young pitchers. I want to talk to Paula about that, her view on the Suns' moves. Jalen Strong, the Combine, and much, much more. It's been a busy weekend of Arizona sports. We're Arizona-centric. What's going on here in your own backyard? That's what we're all about. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussman.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussman.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist. I noticed over the weekend on Twitter that you were caught up in the combine, so I'm sure by now you know Demarius Randle blasted out a 4.47 40 this morning.
Yeah, I just saw that. That's darn impressive.
I mean, what Jalen Strong did over the weekend to me was beyond what we'd seen out of him at ASU. So I just guess in general terms, what did you make out of the combine? Did you sit there and watch guys run in tights all weekend? Is that what it was? Or,
you know, it's funny, and I think I mentioned this on Twitter. I kind of laughed when they made that a made-for-TV event. I found myself going to it quite a bit over the last few days. You know, bottom line, it's competition. You know, you have one top quarterback going against another. You have all these local athletes who you've watched over the last couple years. I think they've done a nice job of making it a made-for-TV event. I thought the Jalen Strong storyline was great because there were so many comments about his lack of speed, and, you know, I know he went through that program they do for, you know, guys going in the combine, a real commitment for like 2 months of trying to enhance your speeds and everything else. And he clearly worked hard, and for the numbers he put to complement the fact that he's just a great football player, vertical jump aside, I thought that was great for him. And, you know, now I'm hearing not just first round, but maybe a top 20 pick.
Okay, so give the fans a little bit more, because I've got a little bit with Jalen, spent a little bit of time with him at Camp Tonizona his first year. I think I remember him saying to me, it was his first interview, I mean, long form interview, a little bit within the last year. But how did you find him to be as a person to deal with?
He was great. I mean, you know, he was the classic sort of JC guy who came in who, you know, didn't take care of business academically initially, a smart kid, but just maybe didn't have the focus, came to ASU, and, you know, everything that Graham and his coaches kept saying at the beginning was how much he was interested in absorbing knowledge and information. And he was very accessible. He was a little harder to reach as he got toward the combine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I understand that. Guys get focused. They, for whatever reason, it happens. But I found him accessible, not always, you know, bare his soul kind of guy, but guy who worked hard. That was always the theme at ASU. And I think what he did, these, like we said, these past couple months going through, and I cannot forget the Exos. UC Athletes Performance. I think it sounded like he really put in the work.
So did you see the Winston Mariota sit down together on the set at NFL Network?
I saw the quotes from it. I didn't actually see it. The storyline for me out of that is how some people are not, I think, appreciating Mariota enough. You know, even going into the combine, maybe even dismissing his great numbers a little bit. I think he's such a surefire guy in the sense of his knowledge, his work ethic. I know there's these guys that are great in college that don't translate well at the pros. We see it all the time. I just don't think he fits into that category.
We were talking earlier about Jason Light of the Buccaneers told Peter King, bad guy or immaturity, ? I am leaning towards the latter when discussing Jameis Winston. This one is going to go on for the next 60-some-odd days and will be a fascinating case study. If you're in that position of authority, who would you take today with the first overall pick?
Oh, that one's so hard for me. I would go with Mariota because of what I've seen in him. And, you know, John Canzano is a terrific columnist with the Oregonian. Just sort of did this column on this thank you letter he got the other day from Mariota's mother, which sounds like nothing, but she thanked him for writing these fair things about her son, and it kind of reflected who that family is. And, you know, I've talked to Helfrich about him, and Helfrich used to be here at ASU.
Right.
I mean, I just think he's at another level as far as a guy who's both this great athlete, really intelligent, this knowledge sort of on the football field, and is such a gamer. And because of that knowledge, I would pick him, even though I know most people are going the other way. I just the question mark that I can't personally answer for Winston would keep me from taking him.
I'm right there with you, and I heard some analysts over the weekend say, you know, the character thing, that doesn't matter to me as much as the on the field. And I'm sorry, but if I'm going to sit there and dangle around a lot of money, and I've already seen a lot of people roll through with quarterback resumes that blew up and didn't do anything and set franchises back. I think the really interesting one is we know what Ken Whisenhunt is like with quarterbacks, how he drove Roethlisberger nuts, how he and Leinart never saw eye to eye.
Right.
And they're sitting there with a number two pick. So one of those two is going to be sitting there.
Right.
And could Wiz take Jameis Winston, which to me is just over the top, versus Mariota, which I think Mariota would come in and be safe. They have Zapp Mecklenburger there, but that's just kind of a little side story after this weekend was complete is, Winston's doing the PR rehab tour. He's going to put on the pink sweater and sit on the Today Show and laugh with Michael and Kelly and all that nonsense.
Sure.
And I just think Mariota, I'm with you, is a safer pick.
Well, so. You know, and I hate to go there because things...
Oh, go there, Paula.
All right,
go there.
All right. You know,
just go there. Come on.
The whole issue with the woman who accused him of rape, and there are things that have not been, you know, proven in court, but I've often found when there are accusations, if they aren't, you know, proven, there was something there that went wrong. Some really bad decision was made at some point. You know, when there's smoke, there's fire. That part really, really bothers me about him, and I can't get past it. And I know that there have been people who have been falsely accused.
Yes,
it took me a while to get there. I admit it to believe that women would do that, but I know it happened.
It does.
But there is just something about that storyline and the fact that other little, you know, things have come out about him, issues that would worry me. The other interesting part, did you happen to catch, I don't know how much you watched the combine, but they cut to Chip Kelly at one point who was there.
Yeah.
You know, you could just tell that if he could find a way to trade up, he would love to get his quarterback.
I thought the better shot was Reggie McKenzie being asleep at the NFL Network.
I did see that. That was great.
That was fine.
That was funny.
You're not 50, are you?
I am 50, Brad.
Are you 50?
I am.
You know what? And I can ask you that as a friend about the personal stuff.
Right.
So you're just now 50.
Well, we don't have to go into too much detail, do we?
And a half?
I've crossed that
three
barrier,
quarters.
Okay? I've crossed that
so
barrier.
So I crossed the barrier over the weekend.
Are you feeling bad about it?
Look, Dr. Phil or Dr. Paula. I can roll this out. No, I'm watching some of the combine with my wife, and it's like, I'm turning 50. Why am I watching this? You know, I've got more time. I can go find time to watch this stuff. But I bring up the age thing just because I'm sitting there in a space where I'm looking at things like Jameis Winston has stolen crab legs and has been accused of this and has done stuff in the middle of his campus, has acted like a complete fool, and people are debating whether or not they should spend millions of dollars with him on the number one overall pick. And I'm like, if I'm the CEO of any company other than Sports 360 AZ, I would have to be drug tested to do that. Right. That's my point on the age thing, is it might just old man get off the lawn. Not that you're an old lady, get off the lawn now, by the way.
That's kind of where you're going.
That's not where I was going since I said it.
No, I know what you mean. I do also know that these teams, and I've talked to even the Cardinals people about it, the amount of money they spend on investigating these people, their backgrounds. You know, you probably as I have actually gotten calls from teams that want to know what it's been like to be around a player, what my impressions were. So they do their homework.
Yep.
So, but they also want to win, and they believe that they can win with Jameis Winston. So, you know, that's what they're weighing right now.
Okay.
But I think it's a risk.
Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. A couple other things before I let you go.
Yes.
Did you like what the Suns did?
That's a tricky question.
So let me just...
I like the end result. I do. It took me a little bit of time to sort of get there, but I like that they got a really talented 23-year-old who I think is going to be really good. I don't like, you know, and I think I wrote this Sunday, I don't like the fact that suddenly they've cast Goran Dragic as this horrible person when you know, I think he made a really bumpy exit out, but come on, I didn't like that part.
That was distasteful.
Mm-hmm.
And they're better than that.
Right.
That this organization, the moment that the press conference started on Friday and I'm hearing Lon Babbie, which I don't need to, and you and I have talked about this, I don't want to hear Lon Babbie. I thought Ryan McDonough shined. I thought Ryan McDonough grew up. Not that he was a little kid, but it was kind of like he owned every last bit of everything. When he stepped to the podium on Friday and he spoke with an authoritative voice, very clear vision, very clear in his beliefs, and very strong in his opinions, and he wasn't going 100 miles an hour trying to explain himself. He slowed the game down. It doesn't mean I like how they portrayed Goran. It's very simple. Those guys aren't here anymore. We've turned the page.
Right.
Really simple to do that.
Yeah, I know. And it was interesting. They felt the need to come out swinging. I guess they were trying to get ahead of the story, which I understand. But, you know, it's really interesting what you said about McDonough, because while I really liked, you know, for overall what he's done with this organization, certainly leading up to this trade, I was very impressed by him. But I never thought he was showing his personality. I never thought... You know, he was just trying to either say the company line or was being, you know, just sort of straightforward. And it was good to see some personality and some passion. And yes, you're showing us how much you care about this franchise. I thought that was really good. And I think it was a positive for him. There's no question.
I would have been much happier if Markieff Morris were jettisoned out of here, too. That's just me. I think if you open up the carcass there and check the heart out, it's not beating that hard. But
well, I mean, you bring up a good point. I think one thing they still need to solve is this sort of communication and locker room and chemistry. And people like to think those words are cliche, but I definitely see that being an issue with this team. And I don't think they've fixed that yet.
Well, look, you have to bring in brothers to motivate the stars, okay, or make the stars happy, and they've done that twice now. And then you've got to bring in players that have a familiarity with one another. We've heard that now with this Bledsoe thing and Knight. And Knight may be terrific, Paula. It may well be, but gosh, just go get me some guys that can play that are good dudes. I'm really not asking for that much. And I feel like the organization has just kind of tried to spin this that, well, those guys were bad, and what we did last summer, we had it all figured out. And, you know, the Lakers pick really isn't that big of a deal. No, you guys basically threw everything away you did last summer. Basically.
Right. I think they need to find a leader. I don't know if he's on that
Bledsoe's
team right
not
now.
A leader.
Right. I agree,
Bledsoe's
but it doesn't even have to be their best player, but they need somebody to, you know, do what, and I always bring this example up, but it was just a great thing Mike D'Antoni always told me about Steve Nash was when there was something going on in the clubhouse, the locker room, he was the guy who kind of fixed it. He was the guy who reined everybody in, let's have the same vision, let's have the same focus and everything else. And this is what this team needs, and I just don't know if it's there yet.
Did you see Birdman before I let you go?
No, I didn't see Birdman. I tried to get in this weekend, and it was only shown at one theater, and it was too full, so I went and saw McFarland USA instead, which was awesome.
No, I like that. I like that. We saw that last week. So so go take your significant other to go see Birdman, and have a glass of wine or two before it starts, because it's pretty bizarre.
But okay, I will
do. Movie of the year. And tell him I said hello.
I will do.
Stay well.
All right, Brad.
It's Paula Bova, News and Notes. AZ Central Sports columnist. You can check out her content at, of course, AZ Central Sports. We will hear from Chris Mortensen on the Cardinals and what his view is of the Cardinals moving forward. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We have plenty of content on our website. If you've not checked out our website, we do this little two-hour show, but you can also check out all of our content, high school, college, pro, things that we see around the state of Arizona at AZ Central or Sports 360. I'll get my sites right. Sports360AZ.com.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
So at the Combine, the Cardinals were front and center with ESPN insider Chris Mortensen, one of the best in the business, at analyzing talent, breaking news. Agents tell him what is going to happen with their clients first so he can report it first. That's the way that the world works now in this world of digital media. Eric caught up with Chris Mortensen at the Combine over the weekend and asked him, how urgent is it for the Cardinals to address their running back situation? This is Chris Mortensen on the Cardinals' running back situation in this year's draft.
Well, I think it's important to become a better rushing team next year, just because Bruce Arians likes explosive plays downfield, and you don't want your quarterback taking big hits. Bruce requires those guys to stand there and take those things. But when you're rushing the football, explosive plays come down the field, obviously off the run action, play action. And listen, running backs getting injured, you want guys who are durable. But the offensive line, they need Cooper, a former number one pick, to come up and be the dominant player that everybody thought he would be. So I think it's a matter of the offensive line continuing to stabilize, to improve, and maybe finding another running back that they believe can fit into that mix. But they're just not that far away, and the running game obviously is vital.
Okay, so let's talk about this for a minute, Eric, because you were there with Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon. You saw both those players and were able to talk with them. Melvin Gordon ran a very good 40, 4.52. Marshawn Lynch ran a 4.53 by comparison at the Combine. What did you make out of Melvin Gordon from what I could see, what I could read? And just one agent this morning said he's not going to be there for the Cardinals late in the first round now.
I don't think so. A lot of what I gauge is only what I hear from the people that are there. And from if I get a chance to talk to these guys, Gordon was somebody that we did get to hear from. And the big thing with him is he's got his act together. I mean, the media was really peppering him with, so who would you compare your game to? You run a lot like Jamal Charles. And he backed away from the comparisons and said, hey, Jamal Charles has been to multiple Pro Bowls. I'm just a guy trying to make it in the NFL. So he has the right approach.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, he had a lot of carries at Wisconsin, and we all know how...
He had that 400-yard game against Nebraska.
Exactly.
I mean, it was crazy.
It used to be, when an NFL running back gets to 30, they're done. Now it's more like, maybe around 27 or 28. It's
right.
time to start looking around. But he would be a phenomenal fit if he was there when the Cardinals picked.
Okay, so where do you come down on Todd Gurley? Because he did not run. He had surgery on his anterior cruciate ligament in his left knee in November. He had a couple of MRIs. He did the bench press. He did 17 reps at 225. Gordon did 19 reps, which was average for running backs at the Combine last year. Gurley didn't let team doctors examine his knee on the advice of his doctor.
Red flags.
Too many red flags for the Cardinals there in the first round.
Not to mention the incident of him signing autographs last year when he was at Georgia.
Yeah, but...
I know,
I'm not as big on that. That doesn't bother me as much as the knee.
But again, it's still part of the process.
I get
These
it.
Guys
I
are
get it.
Analyzed from all different angles. I mean, he is a completely different back than Gordon because he will stick it between the tackles and he has the breakaway speed, and he returns kicks. So he's definitely a multifaceted back. I think he will be there if the Cardinals want to take him, but I'm not sure in the first round the Cardinals will take a running back. I think at some point they will. I mean, think about it, Brad. Only the Oakland Raiders had less rushing yards in the NFL last year
than the Cardinals. Right, right. No.
That's a pretty telling stat, and I know Ellington was hurt, but still.
But here's the other part of it is you've got Adrian Peterson's situation with the Vikings that's up in the air, and the Vikings pick 11. Okay, so if they decide to trade Peterson and they don't have a running back sitting there, they could go at 11 and take a running back.
And Peterson's another guy. I mean, he's getting towards the end. He's not at the end,
yeah.
But there's a lot of wear on those tires.
Okay, Dallas franchises Dez Bryant. The Cowboys pick 27th. We had Peter on last week, and I believe this, that if Adrian Peterson's going to go anywhere, it's going to be Herschel Walker-like
sure.
Minnesota
sure.
to Dallas.
No doubt.
So then what happens with DeMarco Murray's situation in Dallas? And then if Marshawn Lynch does retire, that's the 31st pick, okay? So my point is running backs in the first round could be in demand, and the Cardinals, to me, if it's not Gordon, if Gordon's off the board, I don't do running back in the first round.
Yeah, there's enough. It's a really deep running back class. So there are enough backs later in the draft. I mean, we saw Buck Allen from USC, who was a monster last year against ASU, and they're saying he's going to be a third to fourth round pick, and he's a really impressive player. That shows you the depth in this class.
So there's that on the running back side. Okay, here's more Chris Mortensen. Do you expect Carson Palmer to come back 100% from his knee injury suffered last season? This is Chris Mortensen with Eric at the Combine.
Oh, I'm pretty confident, just based off you talking to medical people, because he had it was just an ACL tear. And I get some smart Alex who's telling me, oh, just an ACL, still an ACL. Now it's true, he's had it before, but you do recover from these things. And, Carson takes great care of his body, both through physically, exercise, rehab, cutting edge, medical stuff, and included with the fact that nutrition-wise. So I think he comes back. I think they're telling the truth. He comes back, and then it's just a matter of can you keep him healthy. That's no different than any quarterback in this league, because there are young quarterbacks who miss games too. But I would bet more on what they're saying, that Carson is capable of doing this, than not.
They still need to draft a quarterback, whether it is this year. And here is my little asterisk by that. They believe Logan Thomas has a future in front of him, but Logan Thomas wasn't good enough to get on the field in a playoff game. It was pretty clear they needed Logan Thomas on the field. Logan Thomas got some playing time at Denver last year, wasn't nearly ready, okay? Carson Palmer had two injuries last year. Everybody's talking about the ACL. Everybody's talking about the knee injury. And it's like the shoulder one just isn't, it's all fine. If you're brittle, and you can say, I am not brittle, the numbers don't lie. You got hurt twice last year. Your backup had a concussion. Okay, that happens. Your backup also got hurt as the season went along. Is Drew Stanton an every down NFL quarterback to get you to greatness? And if you look at this year's quarterback class, if you feel as though it's just a two-trick pony this year, and then Hackenberg next year at Penn State, or there's always going to be a next year. If you feel like next year's quarterback class is better than the quarterback class of this year, Bryce Petty and Brett Hundley don't do it for you, do you go late with a quarterback again? And my point on the quarterback situation is it's not a clear thing to me. Running back is pretty much up in the air. I know they've talked about the interior line and at center and at guard. That's fine. At linebacker, that's fine. But you can't tell me that you've got this all figured out at quarterback. Now, Bruce Arians is a lot smarter than I'll ever be at that position. He's had great success. I get it. My eyeball test says you guys don't have enough there right now. He may know of what plan B is going to be and plan C is going to be. Here's one last one from Chris Mortensen, and that is the view of the Arizona Cardinals. If healthy, are the Cardinals viewed nationally as the team to beat? You actually asked him if they're the team to beat over Seattle? Wow, here's Chris Mortensen. If the Cardinals are the team to beat next year, if they're healthy.
I think that's the feeling is, listen, but, NFC West is pretty good. We Seattle's not going away. San Francisco, I think people feel like they've slipped. I'm not ready to say they've slipped that far. St. Louis is an interesting team. I think St. Louis is going to ascend more this year. So it's a dog-eat-dog division. It's amazing what's transformed over the last 5 years. And in Bruce Arians, you know, I think some of us and a lot of executives in this league get a little bit of exposed because people never talked about Bruce being a head coach candidate, at least not at a high level. And then he was getting up that age, and all of a sudden you look what he accomplished. Not in Indianapolis here, when Chuck went through the terrible thing in leukemia, and then what he's accomplished in Arizona in a short amount of time. It's a great tribute to Steve Keim, to Bruce, and obviously to Michael Bidwell for making it happen too, despite all the pitfalls that they've experienced with suspensions or injuries. So should they be the favorite for that division? Some people make them that, but I think you're champs until beaten. That's why Seattle is still the favorite in my mind.
Okay, that's good stuff there. You know, I think that's very succinct and well put on his part. I don't see any, I wouldn't poke holes in it. On the running back part, I'll just go back watching the combine this weekend. I love Duke Johnson at Miami, Florida.
Tons of running backs. I mean, there really are. I mean, Amir Abdullah, very, very productive back in Nebraska.
The kid of Boise State.
Yeah, Jay Ajayi.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, but I watched Duke Johnson at Miami. It's like,
he's a stud.
All right. Yep, I'll take him on my team. I think I can handle that. He's a little small at 5'9", okay? But the guy averaged 6 yards a carry at Miami last year. That's finding a way to get it done.
And the reason I asked Mortensen the question about the Cardinals is people forget the Cardinals controlled their own destiny last year in the division. They were coming down the home stretch, and they were looking down at Seattle and San Francisco. And I just got the buzz from people that say, you know what? Look what the Cardinals did with all those injuries. Next year, if they can get Dockett back and if they can keep the core together, who knows?
Well, I thought his line about Cooper was right on.
Yep.
This segment brought to you by Mareel Slater Insurance. Mareel Slater Insurance. So you have got your insurance figured out, or maybe you don't. Maybe you heard here in the last week how they've extended your opportunity to get your health care insurance straightened out for the coming year. You've got to have health care insurance. So guys, time is running out. If your health care insurance is not up to snuff, is not up to where you think it should be, or you just want to have it checked out, Tom Mareel and John Slater at Mareel Slater Insurance, they're the place for you. Their website is msinsurancellc.com, msinsurancellc.com. Go there, check out msinsurancellc.com, and what Tom Mareel and John Slater do. They've done a great job for sports360az.com. They've done a great job for me personally. Again, the insurance, it's up there with Blue Cross and Blue Shield. It's open for debate whether you've got the right or not right insurance. Okay, so stop in and check out yourself online, msinsurancellc.com. That is Mareel Slater Insurance. Sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. On sports360az.com right now, I put a little piece up about a 16-year-old seven-footer viewed as the number one college basketball recruit in the country. He's only a sophomore in San Diego. Goes to a school, there's 160 kids from kindergarten through 12th grade. U of A has offered him, along with Kentucky and one other school. You need to check that piece out, and there's some video of him. You'll be like, holy cow, where did this kid come from? And some other cool stories that are Arizona-centric. We do things a little differently here, things that we see around the valley and around the state. Sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sussman.